It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, Hayward.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 29th edition of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show, sponsored by Greats, makers of the all-time greats, classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers sold at a great price. But there's nothing great about this game tonight.
Yeah.
No Kyrie Irving, no Marcus Morris, no win, as the Boston Celtics lose their sixth game of the season in a 23-point laugher to the worst team in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, by a score of 108-85 in the United Center. Easily their worst loss of the season, dropping to 23-6 on the year. I'm your host, Nick Cicenzo, joined by my co-host, the boss, the man that make things happen for the CLNS Media postgame show, Bobby Manning. What do you think about this game other than the words embarrassing, pathetic, sad, worst game of the season? Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic just running wild all over the Boston Celtics, and no go-to guy for the Boston Celtics to really carry the load on offense. What did you see that I missed? Because I didn't see very much good with this game.
Yeah, you pretty much just summed it up right there. It was the Bulls scoring every single time, no resistance, and it was a laugher of a game. And actually, there was nothing funny or happy about it. It was just embarrassing laugher.
Sad.
Put up, yeah, sad. That's a good word for it. And you know, the takeaway you have from it is Kyrie didn't play. Yeah, but you're also playing the worst team in the NBA, as we've mentioned on this postgame show. We've been debating about who it is. It's easily the Bulls. And they just went to town on the Celtics defense. And it's not just one of those things where it's like, yeah, they fell asleep tonight. They had guys out of the lineup. I mean, this is becoming a trend. I know I listened to the last postgame show, good work by you guys, Nick Snoddy and the crew, debating about whether this defensive slump is just kind of regression to the mean or a legitimately bad trend. And I think tonight showed you that there's something wrong with this defense. They were giving up putbacks. They were getting lost on pick and pops. Portis again and again just got loose on the perimeter to open up. And I mean, you got to know your personnel there. That's a guy who just loves to shoot on the end of the pick and pops. And then Mirotic inside. There was one play where Semi Ojeleye, and you expect Semi to be just brute force down there in the post. Mirotic just did a little basic, like, spin-around move, got face-up with the basket, and threw a little one-hander in from 2 feet. And that lack of resistance inside bugged me. And I think the thing we got to find tonight, Nick, is, you know, what is wrong with the defense? Is it just effort? Have they just fallen asleep with this great start? Is there not that level of urgency there was after Gordon Hayward got hurt? Or is there a bigger personnel issue here?
Well, this is ironic. It's interesting. We were just talking about this last night on the postgame show. Snoddy Jip and Josue Pavone and I. Snoddy brought up the trivia question. It was somewhat of a trivia question, asking, since the Boston Celtics 16-game winning streak, where they were for most of that winning streak, ranked number one in the league's defense, had the number one ranked defense in the league, and asked us what they ranked since that win streak was broken. And I guessed 10, Josue guessed 7. I didn't think it could be possibly, you know, that far from where they were before. They're ranked 13th in the league in team defense since the 16-game winning streak was broken. And this game tonight absolutely does not help that effort whatsoever. I think in some ways, you know, and this is not, you know, to bash Brad Stevens at all, because Brad Stevens is the key, you know.
I have a gripe to pick with Stevens tonight, actually.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the same thing. Maybe it'll be something different. But I did see the spin move on Semi Ojeleye by Nikola Mirotic. I also saw Nikola Mirotic basically abuse Marcus Smart. I saw Bobby Portis abused Marcus Smart down low, and pretty much anybody else that tried to D him up as well. Both of those guys, 24 and 23 for Mirotić and Bobby Portis, respectively, or disrespectfully, if you may say, because that's pretty much the way they disrespected the Boston Celtics. But I think we need to, as fans, as observers, as analysts, I've often heard repeated the meme that, you know, Marcus Smart can defend 1 through 5 or 1 through 4. And I just think that putting him on guys with that much size, either like Mirotić, who has the size to back you down on the post and, you know, really abuse you on the post and outpower you on the post, as strong as Marcus Smart is, or guys like Bobby Portis that have the speed to get around and the length to get around Marcus Smart, I just don't think as good a defender as Marcus Smart is and as valued as he is with Boston Celtics fans, that he is good enough, you know, to be that defender on those guys that get hot in every single game. And there are just some players, maybe a lot of players, that, you know, he just can't guard in this league. And I think we found two of them tonight in Nikola Mirotić and Bobby Portis. Not that they didn't abuse other Boston Celtics as well, but, you know, Marcus Smart didn't get it done tonight for a guy that supposedly has been, you know, touted as being able to guard the 1 through 5, or at least the 1 through 4 in this league.
Yeah, I like that point, and that's an interesting take on it, because they do run into these situations where at different positions outside of the guard spots, you have guys that give them trouble. And, you know, Steven's card has been to pull out Smart, move him to the 4, move him to the 3 on those guys, and have them try to play up to bigger bodies. And it's worked here or there. It hasn't worked in other places. And, you know, that's something we haven't talked about over the years, is how good of a catch-all move is that really? It's interesting because, again, tonight we saw the switches were a mess. They were out of sync when it just came to basically picking up shooters out of that pick and pop and stuff like that. You know, it is a matchup type thing. And there are other guys on the defense here who do have to step up. I think Smart has done a solid job to start this year. It does get touchy when you start moving them to bigger and bigger bodies, because you can only make up for so much height with how much, you know, brute force and power Smart has in that body. If a guy's taller than him, they're going to shoot over him. And tonight it was a case of both shooters just having the space to unload. And so I look at a guy like Al Horford and I'm like, you know, where were you tonight? The 4 and the 5 positions were the ones tearing them up. You're the veteran on this team. You're the number one guy, clearly, tonight. And not only that, but he probably could have sat tonight if he wanted to. And I think he needed to sit tonight. They've been using him like crazy. They've been wearing him into the ground on both ends of the floor. So tonight's the opportunity for him to rest. I'm sure Stevens and the crew would have had no problem with him sitting down with Irving tonight and just handing this game away. But then he says, I'm playing tonight. And I think – I'm almost certain that was his call. So if you're banged up, you have a chance to rest. They've been using you like crazy, and there's so many games ahead. You got to come out and bring it if you want to play. You can't just play to look good on the headlines. And I'm not one to rip Horford very much. I still think he's the MVP of this team. But, you know, tonight he was not good. Yesterday he was not good. He plays in both games of a back-to-back. He's getting older. They've been using him like crazy. Take a seat, man. Kyrie was, you know, I'm sure Kyrie's a vehement competitor too, and he was he had enough knowledge tonight that he had to take a night off with the sore quad and just how much they've been using him. I would have been fine with just throwing away this game tonight, and then in the end they lose anyway, and Horford plays another 30 some minutes. So
they pretty much did throw this game away. I think this game was, I mean, if you consider something that you throw away to be trash or garbage, that's pretty much what the Boston Celtics put out tonight, was, you know, trash and garbage, and they threw this game away. Would have been nice to see Al Horford sit and rest, you know, that sore knee, as opposed to playing 31 minutes and giving the Boston Celtics, you know, 6 for 14, which isn't terrible field goal shooting, but, you know, 0 for 4 from 3, just can't do that. I think that's, you know, he's been in some
marks too.
And there were open looks too, and he's been in somewhat of a slump from the 3-point line. He was frigid against the Detroit Pistons and hit that late three, that big three late. But you know, just not with it tonight. And I think what you just described, you know, vis-a-vis Al Horford is basically what you get from Boston Celtics fans who tend to overreact to games in which Al Horford doesn't perform up to the standards that they expect. And it's the
Al
Horford. Well, I know you've been a big defender of Al Horford, although you're objective. You know what I'm saying? You're still critical in times when it's called for it, but that's called being level-headed. Some of the Boston Celtics fans, you know, they love Al Horford when he has a great game, and then as soon as he has a bad game, he's not even fit to play in the NBA. He might as well just, you know, be playing for the G League or out in China somewhere. But you know this, but the reason for that is not because Al Horford isn't a good player every single night, and even tonight. 15 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, you know, on 6 for 14 shooting. That's not a bad night. But on a night, like you mentioned, where Kyrie Irving is out of the game, Marcus Morris, who's one of the guys that, you know, is never afraid to shoot the ball and can give you instant offense, you know, anytime because he just wants to shoot it every chance he touches the ball. Al Horford is a guy that's getting the third max salary player on this team. And you'd like that third max salary player to be a guy that can come in and carry the load a little bit more, be a little bit more aggressive, be a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? Take a little bit more of the burden and a little bit more of the reins of the team and be that guy if you're going to be that third max player on it. And, you know, he just didn't do it tonight. As good as his performance was, it just really wasn't enough. And given his injury and given the fact that the Boston Celtics, you know, tossed this game away, I agree with you 100%. You know, if you're going to sit Kyrie Irving, you're going to sit Marcus Morris, who's not, you know, you sit Marcus Morris, you don't, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you're sitting a bunch of contributing players. Might as well just give Al Horford the sit down and let the young guys, you know, just run for the night.
That goes back to Stevens, too. And this is my gripe with Stevens now. I haven't seen what he said after the game yet tonight, but we've been seeing the defense slowly deteriorate for the last 8 to 10 games. And it's just gotten worse and worse. And tonight was really rock bottom for that. And you can't attribute that to Morris being out. I mean, he's been out for most of the season. Irving, as good as he's been defensively, he's not the crux of this defense. The guys who are playing important roles are the Smarts, Horfords, Baines, Tices, and those guys. And they all played tonight. And they all got embarrassed tonight. Watching this game, I mean, we both watched the whole game, Nick. It felt like the Bulls were scoring on every single possession, and it wasn't crafty stuff. There was a few good Chris Dunn fadeaway shots. But besides that, it was guys walking inside. How many times did we see Justin Holiday just walk to the paint? Jerian Grant, who is just, you know, bottom of the bottom point guards in this league, was distributing. And then you get two big men. I mean, like, remember Mirotić in the playoffs last year? He was bricking shots left and right. Bobby Portis has one good game, like every 4 or 5 games that, you know, gives you some hope with him, but he's not the most consistent guy. And he started this game 5 of 5. They let him get going. They let the guards run wild, distributing. Like, there was no saving grace. I only remember one good defensive play all night, and that was Jason Tatum stepping up in the lane one play and getting a block, but that was it. Like, the second quarter especially was a disaster. The whole game was a disaster defensively.
Speaking of defense, the one stat that jumped out at me as I was perusing the box score before the show started was the steals. The Boston Celtics, I mean, when was the last time the Boston Celtics had 2 steals for the entire team, the whole game? I mean, the Chicago Bulls had 9. I heard Brian Scalabrine on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast talk about the points off turnovers. I'm looking at the turnover here stats. ESPN box score doesn't give points off turnovers, but 8 turnovers for the Bulls, 15 turnovers for the Boston Celtics. So they weren't protecting the ball, and they weren't stealing the ball either. And that's just a recipe for disaster when you're shooting under 40% from the game while the other team is shooting near 50%. I mean, just everything went wrong. Tied on the boards, I mean, the Boston Celtics have been solid rebounding. I think Baines had a reasonable game. No, it was Tatum that had the 10 rebounds. But again, even with Tatum, the offensive streak that he had going, scoring double figures, just ended tonight with a 4-point game. There just wasn't anybody offensively or defensively that really made an impact on this game and made this game watchable from a Boston Celtics perspective, that made this game anything but embarrassing. And if they were going to take the night off, then give these guys rest and give the Al Horford the rest. Give the guys rest. It's just not worth it.
And luckily they did get Kyrie rest. Does There's something we got to talk about tonight, too, and it's Marcus Morris. I mean, that knee is a legit issue now. He had to miss the start of the season with it. He's missed games here or there with it, and now he's going to be missing the foreseeable future with that knee. So who knows how long he's going to be out, but that is actually a real issue, not just a nagging thing now, because he's not going to be playing for the team didn't give a time frame, but it seems like it's going to be a little bit. So that's an issue they're going to have to deal with going forward. And, you know, it's funny with the defense, as we dig into the issues that are facing them right now, Jay Crowder's gone. And, you know, we all have different thoughts about Jay Crowder. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. I know Nick Gelso was just not a fan. But the one thing you got to say about him is he held it down at that small ball four spot on defense. He played up to bigger guys. He was steady. He was consistent there.
Yes,
is there
did.
Really a guy on this team that you look at and say is doing anything comparable to what he did at that spot? And then on top of that, for the first time in a while, the Celtics play a pretty conventional system on defense with a big in the middle, Baines, Tice, who are kind of just roaming the paint. When you have a guy like Portis tonight stepping outside in the pick and pop and those guys have to run out, that's a problem for a defense. And so you combine that fact with the fact that they don't have a great four to play small ball with, I think that might be the core issue on this defense right now if you're looking at a personnel thing.
I think if there's anybody that's playing the small ball four position for this team, it's got to be Jason Tatum. But Jason Tatum isn't built like Jay Crowder. He's just he's just not a Jay Crowder-built player. Jay Crowder was built like, you know, I always said it, and I think a lot of people laughed at me when I said it, but if you looked at them, you know, side by side, even though he gives up a couple of inches to the King LeBron James, and this is not to compare their games in any way, shape, or form, because obviously the games are incomparable. But in terms of physique, I think, you know, Jay Crowder has a similar physique to LeBron James. He has those big shoulders. He played football in college. He can, like you said, he can give up height, but he still can, you know, put a body on fours, and especially on, you know, slower threes that can't, you know, blow by him. He has that, you know, that type of body and that type of strength to do that. Marcus Smart has that strength, but I think he just gives up too much size and in a lot of cases too much athleticism. And then you have Semi Ojeleye, who played the four in college, but Semi is a rookie. I mean, you can't really expect Semi Ojeleye to come in and, you know, and be that kind of stopper.
Yeah.
You know,
and
right out the gate.
Anything.
Not that he was playing that fantastic players, but, you know, you can't expect, you know, that much from Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah, I think people have gone a little wild on the Ojeleye train. I mean, it's fun. Like, the young guys they have on this team are a lot of fun. There's a lot of hope with those guys. And it does kind of – a night like tonight does kind of bring you back to that fact that this is a young team, and they're going to have lapses, especially playing NBA defense. When the core of your team is 1 year, 2 year out of college, you are going to have issues going against, you know, big physical NBA players night in and night out. I mean, the front line had to go up against Robin Lopez, seasoned big-time veteran. Mirotić is no joke, played big ball overseas. Portis, too, big body, who's getting into his veteran years as well. So I think you do have to cut them slack every once in a while. Like, I mean, with this start, it's so easy to forget where they are in their development as a team. But, I mean, I don't want to let them off the hook either. This is my thing with Snoddy. Me and him have been going back and forth on. He kind of feels like this season is just, you know, anything good that comes out of it is great because they lost Hayward. They're so young. Like, if anything good happens at all, you take it, and then you just take the good with the bad. Like, I feel like there is a reason to have some expectations for this team.
He calls it house money.
He calls it house money. Yeah, that's kind of the phrase he's been using. But, I mean, you still have two all-stars in the fold. You still have very good rookies. Like, it's not like they're playing with middle of the pack guys who need to develop now. Brown and Tatum are ready to roll. I think there's a reason to have some expectations for this team, especially in the East. And, like, against the worst team in the East, there's got to be some expectations there. You can't just chalk it up to young players. Like, tonight was a legitimately bad night for this group, and I think it's fair to call them on that. Like, I see some people saying, you know, oh, give them a break. It's been a great start to the season. But, like, you've heard Brad Stevens say it, Nick. The record has been better than the actual play has been. So you could get into a little stretch here where those problems really start to show out. And
he
then,
says that every season, though. He says that every season. He said that last season, too.
I think there's more evidence of it than ever this year, though. Like, I actually believe him when he says that.
I agree with that. I couldn't I can't disagree with that, and I think you're right on the money with the house money comment, or with your debate with Scotty Drippen. We didn't quite get to that on the one show that we co-hosted together last night, but I think that you're absolutely correct in that the Boston Celtics, the way they've been performing thus far, they've proven themselves, I think, against several challenges. I know the grueling days, the days of attrition are yet to come, and we're seeing some of that attrition with the injuries taken by Kyrie Irving to the thigh, Al Horford to the knee, Marcus Morris whose leg injury is going to be nagging. But I think that you're absolutely right, and it's reasonable to have expectations. And I think that if anything, sure, you can take the Gordon Hayward injury and you can say, okay, well, you know, Gordon Hayward's injured. The Boston Celtics still have him for another 4 years. Look at how good they're playing. Look at how well they're playing right now. They're only going to play better when Gordon Hayward comes back. So anything that happens this year, that's house money. They're just playing on house money. That's anything else is that's just extra. It's just icing on the cake. Next year is going to be the year. But if anything you could take from the Gordon Hayward is not just that, how well the Boston Celtics can play without their, you know, second best player or their second all-star. They can take from this, anything can happen. Who's to say that, you know, within the, you know, God forbid something else doesn't happen in the first 5 minutes of the 2018-2019 season that then causes, you know, the Boston Celtics to have to say, yeah, well, what about the year after that? You can't take these type of things. And I argued this, last season as well with Isaiah Thomas. You can't take for granted the lightning in a bottle. Sometimes that lightning in a bottle, you know, can win for you, and you don't take these type of seasons where you're on a roll and take them for granted and say, ah, well, if they don't, you know, win, or they don't do it, you know, they don't make it, then that's fine, because they this opportunity may not come back. I definitely agree that the future seems bright with the young players they have. They have Kyrie Irving. They have a fantastic young coach. It seems like he's going to stick around for the long run. They definitely have a future. They definitely have dynasty written all over them, but you can't take anything for granted. And when you have a situation like this, you have to seize the moment, seize the time, to quote some book that I read back in the day. But you know,
a few people have said that.
Definitely. And with that said, I'm going to give you a chance to respond, Bobby Manning. But I just wanted to shout out to our callers. And I see a couple of callers on the greats.com call lines. If you'd like to call in as they did, 347-215-7771, please press 1 to let us know that you'd like to get on the air. And we'll be going to those call lines in just a couple of minutes. August from New York, we see you sitting there. Area code 413, we're about to screen you as well. Bobby, anything else before we run to the call lines? Any questions you'd like to pose to our callers before we jump to the call lines? Or do you think we've analyzed this game down
to
the bone?
Well, yeah, I think the one thing left to ask is, you know, how do you feel about Morris being out at this point? Because he was playing steady top five, top 6 minutes. He was kind of the guy you lean on for that small ball, brute force, muscle guy in the smaller lineups. Like, I know some people aren't so high on him. I'm not really the biggest Morris guy ever, but I realized the importance of the role he played on this team. And I was hashing out with people preseason, you know. I really thought Morris was a downgrade from Crowder, and I think he's shown to be so far. The durability issue with him is definitely a massive concern now. Like, he just seemingly cannot stay on the court. And, you know, I'm wondering how they're going to try to replicate his production. Is Tatum going to get more small ball minutes at the four? We saw that tonight. You posed the obvious issues that come with that, just putting even more pressure on the rookie. And, I mean, he had a bad shooting night tonight. You know, you're going to have those. But this guy's been shooting 52% from three, 50% from the field. He's just seemed unflappable to start this year. Does the added minutes going with the guys inside, getting beat up by bigger bodies, does that wear down on his offense? That's a legit question to ask, I think. Like, the impact of Morris being gone on this team just as a guy to fill that position worries me a little bit, because Shemmy doesn't seem ready. You know, I think he's ready defensively, but offensively he doesn't bring really anything to the table. If you have him and Smart running around out there on offense, you really can't have two non-factors offensively, at least shooting-wise. They have a very tough lineup issue right now, I think, with Morris out. How do you feel about Morris, Morris being out right now?
I tend to agree with you, because I think Marcus Morris was that one guy, like I said earlier, is not afraid to shoot. He's a willing shooter. He's an aggressive shooter. He likes that role of shooting, and I think that, you know, I didn't quite like him very much in the starting lineup, because I think that having him off the bench just makes more sense, because you need somebody off that bench that, you know, that you can rely on to take shots, to score. Marcus Smart, you know, as good as he is at whatever it is that he does, I know that certain fans just really love Marcus Smart. I mean, it's not offense. He's not a good, you know, he's not great on offense. Tonight wasn't a horrible shooting night. He was 5 for 12 from the field,
he started nice.
3 for 6 from 3. He did well. But, you know, again, you can't rely on Marcus Smart to be a guy that's going to fill in for Kyrie Irving. But on the bench, I don't really like the way – and you know how I feel about Marcus Smart. I'm not the biggest fan, but I think he's a decent player off the bench. He's good at setting up the plays. But and I really like – I'm big on Terry Rozier. I like what we see from Terry Rozier because I think he's more productive. I think he's more traditional, I should say, with traditional or – I can't think of the exact word, but he's more of a conventional. That's the word I'm thinking. A conventional type player in the backcourt. He brings a lot of pace to the game. I think he's a little bit more productive offensively, reliable offensively than Marcus Smart. But when you put those two together in the backcourt without another scorer, I think it really creates an issue for that for the bench production. And I think you saw some of that tonight. Although tonight's not a good example with. Both Morris and Kyrie out, that it kind of jumped some of the other players up in the starting lineup. Marcus Smart moved into the starting lineup to compensate for Kyrie Irving. But you saw the bench tonight was just not good outside of Terry Rozier, who scored 13 points and amazingly had 15 assists, which is not his, you know, strong suit. 5 for 12 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3. Nobody else really on the Boston Celtics bench did anything, and I think that's why you need a guy like Marcus Morris to be there. And like you said, not only that, but he fills a role that the Boston Celtics don't really have. I think Aaron Baines is a solid big man. I mentioned last night he's a perk type big man. He's a guy you don't want to run into his picks. He neutralized Andre Drummond last night. It was fantastic what the Boston Celtics got from Baines. But you need, you know, he's not quick enough to stick with the fours in this league. He's a true center.
Yeah.
He is a five. And you need a guy that can play that either big three or small four, but still rugged, still tough, can still, you know, and is willing to shoot, especially in that second unit. And the absence of Marcus Morris, it has kind of a ripple effect down the roster where you're going to have to depend on somebody else. You can go with Al Horford and at the four and Aaron Baines at the five, but, you know, you're going to have those other rotations, those other matchups where, you know, Jason Tatum is going to end up having to play that small ball four position, because I don't think Yabusele is ready. I don't think Shemi is ready. And, you know, none of the other guys looking down the bench are anywhere close to ready. I like Tice, but I think Tice is a situational guy. I think Brad Stevens looks at Tice as a situational guy, because if he thought that Tice were as effective as his advanced stats suggest he is, his expanded stats, his per 36, his per 100 possessions suggest he is, he'd be getting more than 11 or 12 minutes per night. I think Brad Stevens is maximizing Tice for what he is. So who's going to play that role?
The center conversation is interesting right now because it's kind of been more of an even split between Baines in the last few weeks. As in some games where it almost seems like they're interchangeable. And when there is that issue of the small ball four and who plays that, you do have to look at that center position, because I think they're going to have to lean on more lineups where they do go conventional, Horford at the four and one of those guys inside. And it's an interesting discussion between those two. I mean, Baines has been very good to start this season. He has given them that element they haven't had in a long time. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's not a great pick-and-roll player. He can only stretch out to about 11, 12 feet with his shot, and we've seen him do less and less of that in recent weeks. I mean, lately he's been posting up a lot. And, you know, that's just – I don't think Stevens is comfortable with that being his cog in the offense in the middle. Like, that is not the style he likes to play. And
no.
Tice,
he can't pass. He doesn't pass. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's not
he had
a good
few
passer.
Bad turnovers tonight, too. And Tice is interesting because early in the season, it seemed like he had a little bit of range to him. He was taking threes in the preseason. He hasn't been doing that of late. And I definitely don't think he's reliable on the outside, but he just isn't that same brute force inside you get with Baines. I think they almost wish they could combine both of them in the one player, because that's probably a pretty steady option at center. But instead, you're kind of switching back and forth, taking the best and the worst of both of those guys when neither of them are really the ideal guys Celtics want in their lineup. But, you know, it's tough right now, and I guess we'll just see what the callers think. Are we overreacting to tonight? Are we... You know, like I've kind of been tough on this team in the last few weeks, because I think despite all the wins, they haven't been playing that well. And when those start turning in the losses, it's going to be a problem.
Well, you know, there's a lot of fans, and we're going to get, you know, to those call lines in just a couple of seconds. But, you know, there's a lot of fans that for some reason feel that while the team is winning, there's just no reason to analyze, you know, how they can get better. And I know that you're not one of those, you know, type of fans or analysts or journalists, and I'm definitely not one of those either. Even when the Boston Celtics are winning, you still have to analyze the game. You still break down the footage. You know that Brad Stevens, this dude is never happy. He's almost like, you know, like a younger, less grumpy Bill Belichick, who I'm sure is not going to be very happy after this game, at least not with the score in the fourth quarter right now with the Pats playing the Dolphins. But I digress. Dumb. You know, Brad Stevens is one of those guys. He always finds how the team can improve. And there's nothing wrong with, even when the team wins, looking at, you know, how they can improve, because, you know, you never know in a situation like tonight. You play the worst team in the league. You think, okay, perfect night to sit, you know, a star that, you know, has a bruised thigh or an injured thigh, you know, a couple of our, you know, solid players, you know, sit on the bench. The young guys that have been, you know, playing, you know, balls out, Jason Tatum, you know, Jaylen Brown can hold it down. Al Horford is a former all-star. He can carry the load, and it just doesn't happen. And then guys like Bobby Portis, a bench player for the Chicago Bulls, just, you know, goes bananas and destroys, you know, everybody that the Boston Celtics throw against him. Nikola Mirotic goes bananas and just abuses everybody on the post and on the block, regardless of who it is. And then even guys like, what's his name, David Nwaba. Who is this? Is coming in out of nowhere. And, I mean, scoring 13 points. Chris Dunn, who was largely, I think, considered, you know, maybe not a bust. It was too early to consider him a bust, but was not, you know, didn't live up to his high draft position with the Timberwolves, you know, coming out scoring 12 points for the Chicago Bulls and leading a Chicago Bulls who I believe have won, what, three games in a row now, as bad as they've been on the season, you know, and one of them, you know, came at the Boston Celtics expense. You never know, you know,
yeah,
and this is why you analyze.
And one thing I will say about this game tonight, and one thing I've noticed about the team this season, and I'll give Kyrie a lot of credit for this, Kyrie doesn't really let bad teams off the hook. Like, he's going to go right at them. He's going to kill them. He's going to destroy any bad defense that gets thrown at him. And he has been a big reason so far. You haven't had this game yet. They've lost to who? The Bucks. Fair enough. That was the second game of the season. They've lost to the Pistons, who are shown to be a very good squad. You lose to the Spurs. No shame in that at the buzzer. They really haven't had many bad losses this season. In fact, tonight might have been really the first bad loss they've had all year. And it's no coincidence Kyrie doesn't play in that. I think the good
They had a couple of 10-point losses early in the season, 8 or 10-point losses, but 10 was the biggest deficit that they lost.
I'm talking more losing to bad competition. And we've seen that over
True.
The last few years.
True.
That old group, one thing I'll say about them is they did have those nights where they just fell asleep against a bad team. And Kyrie doesn't do that. It seems like he's always attacking. It just, his natural skill doesn't bode well to bad teams getting the better hand of him. And, you know, tonight I do think they win if Irving's in there. I think he gives them just enough scoring.
Oh.
It's a good Bulls beat defense. It isn't that good. And
oh, yeah. It's not just Kyrie's contribution. And sorry to interrupt. It's not just Kyrie's contribution. It's the fact that Kyrie Irving, you know, brings the identity to this team. And without Kyrie Irving, I think you saw the team kind of floundering, looking for a go-to guy. It was pretty balanced scoring, which, you know, you like to see. Boston Celtics ball is about, you know, balanced scoring, with the exception, you know, you lean on Kyrie Irving, you lean on Isaiah Thomas, but everybody else, you know, pitches in their part. And you got balanced scoring, 15 points from Al Horford, 10 from Baines, 13 from Smart, 13 from Jaylen Brown, 13 from Terry Rozier. I mean, that's pretty balanced to get, you know, five guys in double figures. But you got to have somebody of those five guys in double figures. Somebody got to break the 20-point mark. Somebody has to, you know, carry that big load. And I think that, you know, that's what happened tonight. You think it might be time to maybe hit these quick call lines?
We do have to let everyone know tonight. We're going to be having these shows on our new website as a network, clnsmedia.com. So be sure to check that out. We're going to have every game starting after the next game posted up there. Should have been on that tonight, but we'll start the next one, I guess. And all the other great CLNS content is up there as well.
Absolutely. One place, one hub, so to speak, for all of your CLNS media, you know what I'm saying, broadcast, podcast.
Site, it was one of those 90s websites. Like, that was really going out of style. The new design is pretty sweet.
Yeah, the new launch of it's no longer CLNS Radio. It's clnsmedia.com, so you want to check out that brand-new website, because clnsmedia.com, place to get not just, you know, all your Boston Celtics, you know, needs, all your Boston Celtics news and rumors and highlights, but a lot of other sports as well. Focus on Boston Celtics, of course, but you can get, you know, all your sports needs from clnsmedia.com. So you definitely want to check out the brand new website. Not one of these 90s, you know, websites with the link to the MySpace page in the, you know, in the headers, you know, glittery GIFs and stuff like that. It's, you know, new and improved CLNS Media content on the clnsmedia.com website. And with that, we're going to go to the greats.com, so many .coms, the greats.com toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. And that is the number my man August from New York called. To dial in.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
About this horrible loss. What'd you think about this terrible, embarrassing, painful, just hemorrhoidal loss by the Boston Celtics?
It was bad. Well, first off, I want to commend you guys for doing such a good job analyzing a game like that after the fact. I know that's not easy to do, trying to find and tease out some of the good and the bad. But to me, I'm going to be pretty simple with it. The main thing that bothered me was just the effort standpoint. I mean, after the Celtics went up, I think there was a first quarter, they went up by 7 points. I'm like, all right, Smart's hitting some threes. This is a good sign, maybe. And then they started to take their foot off the gas. They start to pull away a little bit on them. And it's like the Celtics, I saw them on the offensive possessions, were walking down the court, walking into pick and rolls, walking into their offensive sets. And then you look up and there's 5 or 6 seconds on the shot clock. And I'm wondering, how are you guys going to be putting these shots up when they're actually playing tight defense on you and they force their hand with that? And that's what bothered me the most. And you could see it was a big effort piece when someone like Shane Larkin comes off the bench. And although it didn't cut the deficit to a manageable amount, but when Shane Larkin's out there, I really felt like, you know what, they might actually have something in them to get this 8 or 9 points. But when he was not on the court, I didn't see anybody else stepping up. I needed to step up in the absence of Kyrie or in the absence of even Marcus Morris. But it was just the effort that really, really got to me tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just not getting hands up on shooters. Just a simple thing, getting around those screens and the pick and like being there on the pick and pop, too. Like, it was just very basic things killing them tonight. Even Horford, like, you know, it's one thing if Brown's out of it or Tatum's out of it. Like, when Kyrie's out of the lineup and Horford's your defensive cog anyway, but then he just moves up to number one overall tonight and he demands to play as he did, it seems like, you got to bring it. Like, there was a play where he got straight up beat on a pump fake. There was a play on the interior he got beat on. Like, he was not at his best tonight, and it's a fair thing to call out. And, you know, I like that Larkin point you brought up, because we've seen a lot of these guys deep on the bench play lately. Part of it's because they've been missing bodies. But I also wonder, you know, Stevens isn't really a rah-rah guy. You're not going to see him go crazy on his team. I wonder if there's just some underlying things he's trying to get going there. Like, you do know these younger guys who have not proven themselves are going to be playing harder. I wonder if he's just trying to get everybody going with giving those guys more minutes. That might be kind of a discreet thing he's doing to get the team out of the lull right now, because, you know, they haven't been at their best of late. They really haven't.
No, and when you see someone, the one thing I love about Larkin is when you see someone like Larkin, you can cover up the score on the bottom, and you don't know what the score is. With the way he's playing, it doesn't matter. It could be a 5-point game, a 1-point game, or they could be up by 20. His on button is always there, and I think that's the energy they needed to kind of have reabsorb. I mean, it'd be nice to turn on a game and have it not be, them trying to claw themselves out of a hole. It catches up with you. And they haven't had a game where they really ran away with it. I mean, I'm probably misspeaking here, but against the Knicks was the last one I could think about where they really were in control the entire game by double-digit points.
That's a good point. And especially speaking of Shane Larkin, I think Shane Larkin is one of those guys that really, really wants to stick in the NBA. I mean, as good he was highly touted coming out of the EuroLeague that he played in. I think he was one of the better players in that EuroLeague that Danny Ainge picked him up. Yeah, the Danny Ainge picked him out. If you know, both he and Daniel Tice were solid players overseas. But, you know, every player wants to play in the NBA. I mean, unless you're Stephon Marbury, who's a legend and has, you know, statues in China. You know, every player wants to play in the NBA. And, I mean, some players will even give up extra money or more money to come over and play in the NBA. They're obviously, in the case of Shane Larkin, will give up you know, being one of the best players in the league, one of the better players in whatever you're
playing in Spain.
in playing in Spain to come over and be a bench player who's not sure if he's going to get, you know, 5, 10 or even any minutes at all in any given game. So I think that's kind of the motivation for him. You know, you can cover up, as August just said, you can cover up the score at the bottom of the screen and you can see that he's out there playing balls to the wall basketball. And, you know, it'd be nice if in games like this where the teams recognize leader Kyrie Irving and, you know, some of their key players are out and some of the other players aren't playing as well, that you some of the young guys would follow the lead of Shane Larkin and, you know, and bring some of that same energy. And I agree, a lot of what happened in this loss tonight was just a lack of energy, a lack of effort. You know, they got up early, like August said, and a lot of the closeouts were weak closeouts, fighting, you know, through screens, barely fighting through weak, you know, going under when they should have gone over when they should have gone, just bad rotations and bad, you know, effort just all around. And, you know, Shane Larkin was the one guy that you could say, even though his box score doesn't really show all that fantastic, I believe if you're a plus-minus guy, you won't like his plus-minus because he was the worst on the team with negative 24. But I think that had as much to do with the lineups that he was playing with. But he certainly brought the effort. And if you can give Marcus Smart, you know, a whole, you know, buttload of credit, you know, tons of credit for his effort and hustle, you got to give Shane Larkin, you know, the same, you know, credit for his effort and hustle. He may not be the same type of player, but he definitely brings the energy. They could have been a spark for the rest of the team, and unfortunately it wasn't.
Agreed. Now, I appreciate you guys' time on that, and I'll leave it at that, but I appreciate you guys, as usual. Excellent job with everything.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
August, thank you so much for calling in. We definitely would like to have you call again. That was a fantastic call. Very thought-provoking, very
– Oh, no, I really like that Larkin point. And, they brought up a theory in my head. You know, we have seen – I know tonight you kind of just dump in the guys at the bottom of the bench because that's what you do when you're losing as bad as they were. But I have noticed, you know, a little more Nader, a little more Larkin. I know Larkin was hurt for a little bit, as Steven said.
They're twins.
Yeah, they really are. They're tough to tell apart. And then, you know, you see sprinkles of Yabusele here and there. There was one game where they really gave him a good run. And I wonder, like, what's the motive behind that? I know there's been some bodies down, but you're going deep into a class of guys who are very unproven down there. Of course, Shemi has played quite a bit as well. Are they trying to just get some energy, some hustle, just get the team rolling when they go to those guys? Because, you know, when it comes to skills, when it comes to development, you don't get a ton out of any of those guys.
No, you really don't. And I think a lot of it has to do with, moving forward. I know a lot of Celtics fans are going to hate me, and they're going to hate me for bringing up this topic, as I generally do on most of the postgame shows. But I really just get the feeling that Marcus Smart's not going to be on the roster next season. And they're looking for guys like Shemi Ojeleye. There are nights, and I think on more nights than not, Shemi Ojeleye is a zero in terms of his points, in terms of his production. You know what I'm saying? Offensively, he's not a passer. He grabs rebounds, and he can occasionally hit a 3-point shot, and that's it. He's not really asked to do much more than play defense and grab boards, and if he's open for a corner three, take that corner three. But that's it. And I really think getting these guys playing now has in part to do with the fact that Gordon Hayward's not there. I think that there is some of that, you know, and I don't think that it's completely out of the realm that there is some of that. Well, you know, this season is, you know, it's reasonable to have expectations. Let me put it this way. It's reasonable to have expectations. But if the Boston Celtics don't go to the NBA Finals this year, or the Boston Celtics only win two games in the Eastern Conference Finals without, you know, Gordon Hayward, I don't think that, you know, Boston Celtics fans are going to be overly, you know, dramatically upset or overreacting the way that they usually do about almost everything else.
Yeah.
Given the fact of what's happened this season and the fact that they lost one of their all-stars. So I think that, you know, part of that is, you know, Brad Stevens is using this season, knowing that he does have some house money. I don't agree that there should be no expectations, as we mentioned earlier, but I do think that there is some house money. And I think that Brad Stevens is using some of that house money wisely, getting guys like Shemi Ojeleye and Gershon Yabusele, Jabu, getting these guys, guys a little bit ready for a potentially greater role in the season to come. Because if those guys, and I don't mean to cut you off, I want to let you get to the point that you're getting to, but if those guys can give you, let's say, you know, they gave you zero tonight, but let's say both Shemi and Yabu can give you five, you know, seven, maybe even 10 points next season, or, you know, 6 points and four rebounds per game. You know, that is a significant contribution off the bench. And that's something that Brad Stevens can use this season without Gordon Hayward, with the holes in the roster, and especially in games like this where the game was just completely a laugher from, you know, the second quarter on out. You know, to use this game to get those guys some, you know, some significant run to get them developed. And I think that's what, you know, a good coach does with young players.
Yeah, I love Yabusele.
I love hearing you pronounce it. I love hearing all the different pronunciations. Is it Yabusele?
Well, my favorite's Yabusele. That's a lot of fun. I think it's really Yabusele, but that's just not as fun. And, he is a fun guy. You can just see it on the bench. When he comes into the games, Kyrie and Brown and all of them are going crazy. I think Kyrie loves him more than anybody. And it's kind of like, I don't think he's ready to play yet, but the day he actually becomes a cog in the bench or wherever he's going to end up playing is going to be a fun day, because the guy just is booming with confidence. Yeah, he goes out there and tries to do too much, way too much sometimes. Like tonight he came in and just started dribbling like crazy in the paint and then lost it in the corner and got up on his knees. And I don't know what he was doing, but the guy has no lack of confidence. He was dabbing after his shot on the wing a couple of games ago. And, you know, he's not ready yet, but this guy, like, it's easy to tell why this guy's becoming such a fan favorite, even not really playing. I'd like to see him up in Maine if I get a chance this winter, because he'll probably be playing there quite a bit this season. I just want to get a little Yabusele segment in real quick.
He's definitely a fun player to watch, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I did a little research on both Gershon Yabusele and Shemi Ojale, and I believe both of them have ancestry in Nigeria, so they're the Nigerian twins out there. Well, not really twins, but you know what I'm saying,
you know,
like the Nigerian duo.
You know, we've said it, Ojale is getting minutes, but if you look at the analytics of it, you look at the chart of the team, who's saving them points on defense, who's adding offense. I know Yabusele has barely played, but he's kind of in the middle right now. I mean, he's a zero net offense and pretty much a zero net defense. And Ojale, a little below average on defense, probably like a -5 defensive point saved. And then he's like a -20 offensive points added. So I think there might be more of a debate there than you think. I know he just looks rock solid on defense, but – you know, I wonder, like, my big question for you, Nick, is are we talking next year when it comes to Yabusele, or is there actually a way he can contribute to this team now in all seriousness?
Well, I think the only way that you're going to get him ready to play now or in the playoffs when it counts is by, you know, getting him minutes now. And I think, the confidence is clearly not a factor with Yabusele or Yabusele. Yabu, however you want to pronounce it.
Are you saying Maine's not going to help him?
Maine could help him, but I think he's going to be one of those players. I mean, how many players do we see in Maine? I think you said Maine. How many players did we see in Maine that dominated in Maine? Fab Melo had triple-doubles with blocks in Maine. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to Fab Melo. No disrespect.
And James Young, the king of Maine.
And James Young, the king of Maine, who spent four seasons in Maine. And I mean, you know, and I swear, you know, this is a funny thing. I swear there were still guys online that insisted that James Young was going to become, you know, was going to break the rotation for the Boston Celtics. He was going to come out of Maine after all those solid performances in Maine and break the roster. And you know what? It just didn't see it happening. I mean, not the RJ Hunter, when there was that cut between RJ Hunter and James Young. Yeah, just another, you know, another guy, but never did that. You know, Abdel Nader was the, I think, the G League Rookie of the Year last year. So, I mean, you know, what the G League actually, I think, is good for conditioning. It's good for getting guys used to running up and down the court, and I think that may be a good thing, especially for a player like Yabusele, who carries a little bit of extra weight. But what I want to see from Yabusele, but the weight that he carries is a lot better proportioned than a guy like Jared Sellinger, for example. It's more muscular. I think he's more athletic than Jared Sellinger. I know Jared Sellinger had back issues, but he has that backside just like Jared Sellinger does. And I think that if he can, you know, slow down on some of the dribbling in the post, if he can, you know, just use his body the way that Jared Sullinger uses his body and just go straight up to the basket and either throw it down or, just lay it up, right close off, close to the basket, right off the backboard and into the hoop. He can have a decent role. He just has to get some of those easy shots down because he's going to be able to make space. Yabusele, as much as anybody, the guy can make space. He is a space maker because he is a huge body down there. He's not that tall. I think he's only about, if he's listed at 6'9", they're lying as far as I'm concerned. But if he's, 6'8", 6'9", and just massive, rear end to box out with it. I mean, he has the potential to be a Jared Sullinger-like guy without a lot of the conditioning issues that Jared Sullinger had, despite having, a larger frame. And I don't know, is it this year, is it not? If Yabusele starts contributing and putting up, let's say, 5 or 6 points a game consistently by, the third quarter of the season, then I think that you have a significant serious weapon for the Boston Celtics. Or Jalay, either one. If either one of those guys, or Daniel Tice, or Abdel Nader, if any of those guys can step up and start giving consistent score, can approach that, that 6 or 7 points a game where it actually starts to mean something, and grabbing some rebounds and hitting some shots, in the clutch when it's important, maybe taking over some of these games like this where Kyrie might have to sit to rest, or God forbid an injury, Al Horford may have to sit, so you get Yabu, a little more Yabu in there, on those type of games, they can start contributing and not just putting up numbers, but putting up, numbers in minutes when it counts, not just minutes when the game is already under control, then there's just even more weapons. There's already an embarrassment of riches. You heard what, not to change the subject, but what Stan Van Gundy said last night about Jason Tatum and how he's sorry that Jason Tatum is in Boston for however many years that he's going to be in Boston for, because he was clearly the best prospect in the draft last year. So, if these other guys that are coming off the bench can be significant contributors, in addition to the surprise, I think that, that Jason Tatum has been, and the improvement that Jaylen Brown has given you. Not that Jason Tatum wasn't expected to be a good player, but I don't think anyone expected him to be as good as he is right now and lead the league in 3-point shots, although that he may take a hit after his 0-for-4 3-point shooting tonight. But any extra player that you can get in there that can contribute legitimate minutes, I mean, at the very least, not give up leads. I think that's what you need to, what Boston Celtics fans need to expect, not to go on too long of a rant, but need to expect from the Gershon Yabusele's and Semi Ojeleye's and Daniel Tice's, is when they're in the game, they don't give up the lead. They maintain what the star is and what the star players in the better players at the top of the roster. What they build, the leads that they build, the Yabusele and Ojeleye and Tice can, and Nader and Rozier, they can hold those leads. That's what they need to do. If they can build on them, fantastic. But at least hold those leads that are built up by the starters.
So we got 5 minutes left. I think the one guy we still got to hit on today is Jaylen Brown. Not only tonight, but his season as a whole has been interesting. I definitely think he's taken a step. Tonight, actually, it's funny. He's been dealing with those goggles, and the goggles, I guess, have just been getting foggy on him, so he just threw them away tonight, but he still can't wear contact of his eye issues. So he's trying to figure out vision issues right now. I'll give him that. Like, if you can't see, you can't shoot, you can't play. So tonight he was dealing with some vision issues and went 5 of 12, 3 of 7 from three, 8 rebounds and 3 turnovers. So not the worst night ever, but definitely wasn't at his best tonight. Missed quite a few open looks from three. And this season as a whole is just shocking enough to be, it's definitely a season of progress, but he's one of the starters on this team, one of the more veteran players on this team. How are you feeling about his season to date?
Well, I think the fact that we can sit there and we could look at the stat line that you just mentioned, the 13 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 5 for 12 from the field, 3 for 7 from three, all of those stats are fantastic. If we can look at this guy and say, he's not playing up to where, we expect him to play, then he's having a pretty freaking fantastic season, because this is a guy that averaged, 6 points and a rebound or two last season. And now we're sitting here looking at 13 points and 8 rebounds saying, that's not as good as we expect from Jaylen Brown. I mean, now that says something, fantastic about his improvement.
He's got 14 and a half per game actually this year, which is more than I expected when I went to the page right here, and 13 tonight. So I'll only pull that down just a little bit. Yeah, I feel pretty good about him right now. My thing with him still is just the consistency, night in and night out. Can you be a steady contributor instead of just having those huge games? We've seen him have 27-point games this year, and then we see him have a little lesser games like tonight. It's, you know, we've seen plenty of guys show promise and pick their spots when it comes to having great games, and then other nights they're just kind of in and out. That's still my biggest question with him. Actually, my biggest question with him is the dribbling, but I talk about that too much, so I don't want to talk about that tonight. But
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's a criticism. His handles aren't that fantastic.
Yeah, he was dribbling baseline tonight and threw it out of bounds on a kickout. And just, you know, little simple plays like that, you got to be able to make that play if you're going to be on the ball at all in this league. And I've had a little debate with my friends and stuff like that. You know, do you have to be an on-the-ball player to be a superstar in this league? I think you do. You look at pretty much all the majority of guys at the top of the league, with very few exceptions. They're all very steady dribblers.
Yeah, they can bring the they can handle the ball. They can take care of the ball. They can bring the ball up and get things done. I think you need to be able to do that.
Yeah. So,
but
you know, off night for him. Glasses. We'll see how he figures that. I don't know what he's gonna do if he can't wear glasses, can't wear contacts. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting situation for him as well tonight. And then, you know, we might as well, before we get out of here, look at the road ahead. Celtics have quite a few games coming up. I think you went over the schedule then in the last show. But they really don't have, through New Year's Day, they don't have a stretch where they have more than one game in between games. This
12 and 18, I think. 12 games,
yeah.
12 games and 18 nights.
Yeah, doubleheader Friday and Saturday this week. The next game is going to be Wednesday against the Nuggets, which isn't easy. Then, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, another back-to-back with the Heat and Knicks where you travel on the second day. Saturday, Monday, then a game against the Hornets. You got Rockets coming up, which is going to be real hard. And then, of course, 2 days later, it's the Nets. You know, it's not the best competition coming up, but do you think this, you know, just the amount of games coming up is going to be a concern for them?
Well, I think, you know, especially now, and I know last night, I looked at the schedule, the same schedule that you just mentioned, and said, well, I don't see, you know, the stretch of games where the Boston Celtics are going to hit, you know, like a significant losing streak, because one of the questions one of our callers asked was, do we see, as, you know, as analysts or as fans, you know, the potential for the Boston Celtics to, you know, start dropping games and then having a bad stretch of games? And looking at the schedule, you wouldn't think so, because a lot of these teams just, you know, aren't fantastic teams. I mean, the Nuggets are, I guess, all right. You know, the Chicago Bulls are absolutely horrible, and the Celtics played them twice in this stretch of 12 games and 18 nights. But I guess the Chicago Bulls, and this is dating back to last season, if not, you know, earlier, the Chicago Bulls aren't afraid of the Boston Celtics. They feel like they can play with the Boston Celtics. So I'm not sure that you know, that return game, that return game with the Chicago Bulls towards the end of this this stretch is going to be an easy game. But, you know, games like Memphis, I mean, Memphis are generally competitive, but I think the Boston Celtics can take care of business. I believe they play the Pacers, they play the Hornets. A lot of these games are comeback games. So as one of our hosts has mentioned before, you know, now there's video on the Boston Celtics. These teams have played the Celtics, you know, once already. So now they have, you know, they have a little bit better game plan
this season. Yeah, there was kind of an advantage to how new look this team was. And now it's kind of clear what their approach is. It's clear what their lineups are. And they do have lineup questions going forward. They have defensive questions going forward. I think Joe Sway said it last night. We're gonna learn a lot about this team through New Year's. We're gonna see just how legit they are, and you know, tonight was hopefully a rock bottom point for them where they can only go up from here. Because, you know, despite all the winning, like I just keep saying again and again, it hasn't been the best play. And I think tonight you finally got a loss on paper to show some of the shortcomings of the team. But, you know, Kyrie will be back. Hopefully Morris will be back sooner rather than later. And hopefully, I really wish they could have got Horford tonight off before the 12 and 18, but whatever. If the guy just is adamant about playing day in and day out, let him have it. I'm just saying, though, if he goes down, they are screwed. That's my only worry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that, and that's, you know, that's the thing about Al Horford is that he's a fantastic passer. I mean, even tonight he had his same, you know, average for the season, 5 assists averaging on the season. He got 5 assists tonight. And I think that's the big difference between Al Horford and, you know, Aaron Baines and Daniel Tice and Gershon Yabusele or any of the other Celtics big men, Marcus Morris as well. Any of the guys that can play in the front court is that Al Horford is just a better passer than all of the other Boston Celtics front court players. Hell, he's a better passer than pretty much any of the Boston Celtics, period, with the exception of Kyrie Irving, who, you know, doesn't, you know, for a point guard, doesn't really average that many assists. I think it's, what, 4 assists per game, so, or 5 assists per game for Kyrie Irving. So Al Horford is that, you know, really that guy that, as Snotty Drippin said last night, kind of, he's the lubrication. He's the guy that kind of, you know, that greases the wheel for the Boston Celtics. But, Before I hit this read and close the show out, is there anything you'd like to any last thoughts about the game tonight or about the future schedule, Bobby Manning? You think we touched all the bases?
Yeah, we hit a lot tonight, which is great. You know, not many callers so far, but you know, I just again want to thank everybody this year. We've really just been rolling along strong on this show. I mean, we got great hosts. We've had great hosts who have come and gone now. Of course, you know, thank Pat. Thank Jared Scally for their service here. They're moving on at this point. And through the new year, we're going to be bringing some new people aboard, getting some new names in with the network, getting their chance on this show right here. And, you know, it's been good to just get people some opportunity broadcasting on here. And you've been a big help, Nick, with getting some of these new people integrated. And you know, I think the future of the show is bright. We weren't sure about what the future was coming into this year, but we've been on every night. We've been hitting hard on these games. The callers have been great. And we're having one of our better seasons ever on here. So I feel good about that. And thanks to everybody who's tuned in.
Well, I think the show needed a little bit of new blood, Bobby. And I think that's fantastic that, you know, you took the reins for the scheduling, took the reins for, you know, bringing in some of these new hosts, took the reins on a lot of things. And, you know, just as Al Horford is the lubrication, you know, pause, but it's a lubrication for the Boston Celtics offense.
I like this comparison.
I would say that Bobby Manning, you are the lubrication that makes the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show, you know, what it is. You breathed new life into the postgame show. Not that there was anything wrong with the postgame show as it was before, but I think that, you know, it's definitely on a roll now. And I think that, you know, fans are really, you know, as they have in years past, and I've been with the show for several years now, really appreciating what it is that we do here. And with that said, would like to once again shout out the brand new CLNSmedia.com website as a hub for all of the CLNS Media audio, video, Boston Celtics, and sports coverage. You can get, like I said, audio, video, locker room coverage. You can get latest news, latest rumors, latest updates, everything Boston Celtics and sports related at clnsmedia.com, the brand new CLNS Media website, brand new for the 2017-2018. Let's just call it the brand new for 2018, even though it's already up now. Brand new for 2018.
Hey,
21st century, almost there, that's right. 21st century, up-to-date, clnsmedia.com website. And as always, this episode is sponsored by Greats, makers of the all-time Greats, classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers sold at a great price. Greats is Brooklyn, New York's first ever sneaker company. Can you imagine that? A city that has been so influential in the sneaker lifestyle. And trust me, there is a lifestyle surrounding sneakers and kicks and all those type of things. A city that has been so influential in the sneaker lifestyle has never had its own sneaker company. Greats is Brooklyn's first sneaker company. They sell all the Greats, classic styles made the best for less. A wide selection of both men's and women's shoes, versatile styles suitable for any occasion, tons of different colors and materials to choose from, all high quality, all top notch. Their best sellers include the all leather Royale Lace Up, and my favorite, because I'm just too lazy to tie my own shoes, is the Wooster Slip-On. Just don't want to tie my shoes, just want to put them on and go. The Wooster Slip-On is perfect for you, just like it's perfect for me. You can check these out along with lots of other styles at greats.com. And we've got a special deal for our audience. I'm not done yet. We've got a special deal for our audience. You can save 15% on your first order with the offer code Celtics Roundtable. All one word, Celtics Roundtable. If you're a fan of this show, you should know how to spell Celtics. If you have gotten past second grade education, you should know how to spell round and table, the thing you eat at every night, Celtics Round Table. Go to greats.com, that's GREATS.com, and be sure to enter Celtics Round Table to save 15% at checkout. Greats also believes so much in their shoes, they offer a no-risk return and exchange policy to guarantee that you get the right fit and the style that you love. That is right. They guarantee their shoes. So if you order, even with your 15% Celtics Roundtable discount, you can still return the shoes for all your money back. If you don't like the style or the fit, all your money back guaranteed. That's greats.com. Use a code Celtics Roundtable, save 15%. And as always, we want to thank greats.com for sponsoring the Boston Celtics CLNS Media post-game show. And we'd like to thank all of our callers. There's only one caller tonight, but a fantastic caller, August from New York. And all of our regular listeners, those that may not tune in as we're broadcasting after a 23-point terrible, embarrassing loss as the Boston Celtics dropped tonight. But those that also tune in to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And once again, we urge you to check out the Celtics, the CLNSmedia.com website. I am your host, Nick Sesento. For the boss, Bobby Manning. Bobby?
Hey. Peace, everybody. Good night.
Have a wonderful evening.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
There had never been a sneaker brand founded in Brooklyn, which was really surprising. Like, everything came from here at one point, but never a sneaker company. So here we are. We stand for value and quality, and we're able to offer a premium quality product at a value price by not wholesaling. It was becoming really clear that, like, the model of traditional wholesale was completely broken, and basically because of the inefficiency, like, the customer pays more money than they need to. So we have two categories, made in Italy and made in Asia. And made in Asia is more sporty, younger, more accessibly priced, and made in Italy is more luxury. We call it accessible aspiration. We use the same factories, the same material providers, the same sole providers as all the luxury brands do. There's one region in Italy where most of the luxury sneakers are made. We make it in that area. This shoe, the upper is premium Italian leather. I mean, it comes from some of the best suppliers in the country. And then we line it with what is called vicheta calf. And vicheta calf is what, like, Chanel makes their bags out of. So actually the lining is more expensive than the leather, which is crazy. And when we went to the factories and we're like, oh, we want to line the whole thing in vicheta calf, they're like, what? That's kind of what luxury brands do. And we're like, yeah, we know. And they were like, yeah, but you want to price it at this. And I'm like, yeah, but this is how we're going to do it. I know if we cut these things in half, like every other one of our competitors that sells it for $500 is going to basically have the exact same level of material, except this one's going to be $200. And like the simplicity of that sounds like that can't be, that can't be, that can't be, because we're so told, like, oh, the more you pay, the better it is. And like that may have been true at some point, but today it's not. And this is kind of proof of that. I mean, there's pros and cons to doing things the way we do it. The pros are we get to give you guys a better product for less. The cons are, you know, it's hard to get more people aware of your brand when you're just one website. By not selling to a retailer, we literally are saving you at least half. Our business couldn't exist pre-internet. Like, the internet is a distribution channel. Like, you can make things and sell it. And if you do that, and that's the majority of your business, and you're not relying on third-party retailers, then you can have a super disruptive business, whatever you're selling. So the internet is the reason. All of those things, man, have changed the world and allow greats to be greats.